If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 19. Y'all listen fast and I'll try and preach fast. How about that? You know, I told my wife last night, I said, you know, the Lord usually gives me a title before he gives me the message. But this time the Lord didn't give me a title until after I was finished with the message. And the title that he gave me was this, just a few questions. And it fits exactly with the message tonight, of where we're going. These are very familiar verses of scripture that we're going to begin reading tonight. Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. The Bible says this, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the time we have here tonight, Lord. Lord, I pray that you just give me the words that you would have me to speak tonight. Lord, I don't want to say anything or do anything that's not in your will tonight, but Lord, just have you work through me tonight, that folks don't see me, but they see you and hear you, Lord, is the main thing, that they hear your word, your message. Lord, I pray that you just forgive me and take anything out of the way that would hinder me tonight. For I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just a few questions. And it literally is going to be a few questions that I'm going to ask you tonight. And I'm not going to ask you to answer them, because I'm going to answer them. Because I did the study and you didn't do the studying beforehand. So I get the opportunity to answer that my own questions. And though my wife has said before, you talk to yourself a lot. And I tell her, well, I get the most educated answers that way. But no, I don't. But I do talk to myself a lot. So I'm going to answer my own questions tonight through the Bible. First question I have is this. Who says Zacchaeus was a crooked tax collector? You know, we've heard many times, and I'm sure you've heard it preached, that about the tax collectors being crooked. I think they're crooked when they take that money out of my paycheck. I don't know about you, and they take way too much most of the time, it seems like. And how many of you have ever had somebody to accuse you of something by a false accusation? I think we can all say at one point in our lives we've had somebody to say, well, he did this or she did this, and it was totally false. But we've heard that tax collectors are crooked, but I look at this and I wonder why they would say this about Zacchaeus. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 7, it says, And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Guess what? They were sinners. The ones that were accusing him were sinners. You know, a lot of times I've said it before, when I point at you and preach at you, there's only one finger pointing at you. There's four others pointing back at me, or three others pointing back at me. So if I say something and preach something to you that you should be doing, guess what? So am I. It applies to me too. It doesn't just apply to you. It applies to me. So we all have to search ourselves and see. Of course, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, and I'm going to turn there right quick. In verse 1, we've heard it before. Judge not that you be not judged. You know, said it before. We don't know what individuals are going through. We look at a situation that's going on with someone and we say, well, they shouldn't act that way or they shouldn't act this way. And we judge them and say, but we're not in that situation. So we shouldn't look at them and say, well, they should act this way or that way. Until you're walking in their shoes, don't judge them. Get to know them. Find out what's going on with them. You know, I look at Zacchaeus, and it's said about tax collectors that are crooked, but I look at verse 8, and I see, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. How many of us can say that? I know I certainly can't say that. I don't give half my goods to the poor. And then I go on and I look, I see what else it says. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. He ain't going to have much left if he's done cheated, folks, if he's crooked. I can tell you that now. So don't always judge a book by its cover. Just because he's a tax collector doesn't mean that he's crooked. You know, he probably living paycheck to paycheck if he's doing what he says here. So, and I know times were different then. It wasn't actually a paycheck, but they got money anyways. So it's the same as a paycheck, I guess you'd call it. Now, we've answered that. Next question. What was the reason for verse 7? And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest for the man that is a sinner. Of course, like I said before, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah 64:6 says, let's turn there right quick. I just want to turn there because I can't quote the whole verse. So I want to just turn there and read it. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Then Luke chapter 5. And this is kind of an answer for what the reason for verse 7 was. You know, every verse, every word that's in this book is there for a reason. Every verse, every word. And there's a reason behind verse 7. Why did they have to say that about him? Were they jealous that Jesus was going to eat dinner with him? Was that the reason? But Jesus kind of squashes that. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 30, he's answered this question before, by the way. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. There was a reason for him being there. There was a reason for verse 7. He was there for, he had a plan. When he walked into Jericho, there was a plan. He knew Zacchaeus was going to be there. He knew he was going to be up there in the tree. Why do you think he called him by name? He knew he was going to be there. And there was a reason for him being there. There was a reason for verse 7 so that he could once again show that he was a friend of publicans and sinners. You know, I need Jesus. Because I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. We all need him. And for us to call somebody out and say, well, they're a sinner. Well, they're a bigger sinner than I am. Well, I don't know that. You don't know that. We really need to be careful about that. Now, why is verse 3 there? Let's look at verse 3 of Luke 19. I learned to keep my place one day. And it says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was of little stature. Why is verse 3 in there? Why do we have to know that he was of little stature? Well, because we found out he had to climb up in the sycamore tree. That's one reason that we saw that. But why was verse 3 there? And I think the key word in that verse is, and he sought to see Jesus. He sought to see Jesus. Psalm 105 says this. Psalm 105, verses 4 and 5. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Verse 5. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. You see, I think Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus because he had heard. Everybody had heard of Jesus by this time. And he was there and he just wanted to see, who is this? Is this who I've heard he is? Is he really who I think he is? But I think the key reason that Zacchaeus was there, why he sought to see Jesus, we find the answer in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 44. And the Bible says this, no man can come to me, and this is Jesus speaking, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent him, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You see, I think Zacchaeus had a call, had a draw to come there to see who Jesus was. I think God had called him and said, hey, you need to go see who this guy is. You need to find out what he's all about. And I think that's why he was there, was because he had been called. You know, just like us. We were called. We didn't get saved on our own. We were called. Nobody ever gets saved on their own. You were called. That's the only way you're ever going to get saved, is to be called. Say, oh, well, I'll get saved when I want to. No, you won't. Unless you're called, you won't get saved. Now, I believe God does put a calling on everybody's life because the Bible says he's not willing that any should perish. But all should come to repentance. So I believe that everybody's called, but don't just think you can just do it when you want to. If you hear the voice of God calling you, you better answer. That might be the last time he calls. Maybe the one time he calls. Maybe the only time he calls. I believe he gives you more than one chance, but I don't know that. Now that we've answered the question of why he sought to see Jesus. Preachers said this before. He spoke about this recently. When did Zacchaeus get saved? When exactly did he get saved? At what point within these few scriptures did he get saved? Preacher said recently, he says, I think he was saved when maybe he was saved when he come down out of that sycamore tree. Maybe he was saved before he got into the sycamore tree. But I think we find the answer. First off, the only way we're really going to know is we're going to have to ask Jesus and Zacchaeus when we get to heaven. That's the only time we're really going to know. That's the only time we're really going to. But we can speculate, and that's what I'm going to do tonight, is I'm going to speculate. I think it's somewhere between verses 5 and 6. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says this. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But as many as received him, and in verse 6 it says, and received him joyfully. I believe verse 6 is when Zacchaeus got saved. That's my speculation, of course. But he received him. And that's what we got to do. We got to receive him. That's just like it when I used to talk to the kids. You talk to them about a gift. You can't get a gift unless you receive it. The gift is free. I'm going to give you this gift. But you've got to do an action. You've got to do this. You've got to reach out and you've got to receive it. You don't receive it, if you don't reach out and receive it, if you don't reach out and take that gift, then it's there, it's just left. But you got to receive that gift. And I believe that night, or that day, Zacchaeus received that gift at that point in time. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, I think a little conversation went on there between Jesus and he, other than Jesus telling him he had to come to his house. I believe there was a conversation that took place, and Zacchaeus said, I know who you are. I believe this. Now, I can't back it up right here within what I read in the scriptures. But I believe there was a conversation there, a confession. But he received him. As Brother Derek has said many times, it's not about asking Jesus into your heart. That's not what it's about. It's about that heart-to-heart conversation with God. God, I know you sent your son Jesus to die for me. I know he bled and died on that cross. I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved. It's that heart conversation that saves us. And it's only when we're called. It's not just when we want to be. It's when God calls us. You know, I think back when I got saved. I was 16 years old on a little church down on Orange Avenue. It's called Orange Avenue Baptist Church. This church came out of that church. This was a mission church from Orange Avenue Baptist Church. Sister Denise knows. And I was sitting there. It was on a Tuesday night. We were having a revival meeting. Now, what is a 16-year-old kid doing in a revival meeting on a Tuesday night, school the next day? What am I doing sitting there? Because I was drawn there. That's why I was there. But I'll tell you this much. When I walked in that building that night, I knew I was a sinner. I knew I needed to be saved, but that preacher, I think his name was Brother Billy Rigsby, I believe. And he preached that message that night. And Brother Bill stood down and gave the invitation that night. And I jumped up and ran down the aisle. No, not really. I was scared to death, 16-year-old. I was holding on to that pew with everything I could hold on with. The Lord calling me and calling me. Every verse of the of the Just As I Am that was played that night, he was calling me. Every word, every note, he was calling me. And I held onto that pew. But at the end, and I kind of modeled my own self after that when I would give an invitation to young people. Brother Bill said every eye closed and every head bowed in the room. He says, I was just wondering. He said, I'm not going to come to you. He said, I'm not going to call you out. He said, I just wonder if there's one in here that's willing to raise their hand and say, I know I'm lost. Now, I could do that. Nobody was looking around. I didn't have anything to be scared about. And I slipped my hand and I slipped it back down. I can't tell you the number of kids that I've seen do that back here and at other churches that I've done youth ministry work at. And I try to do the same thing. I try to not go to them and embarrass them. But he always said this, I want to pray for you. And he prayed for me. But he took it one step further. And this is how I would kindly do it myself. In years to come, many years to come. He came up to me as we were standing there in the vestibule outside. And he put his hand on my shoulder. And he leaned over and he said, son, do you need to talk? Nobody else heard him except me. And I said, yes, sir. I need to talk. He said, let's go. We walked right down that little hallway. His office was there on the right, about the second door down. The building's not there anymore, so I can't go and look and see exactly where his office was, but it was about the second door down on that hallway. We walked in there, and he took the Bible and opened it up. He didn't ever have to open it. All he had to do was, son, you want to pray? And I'd have jumped on it, but he wanted me to be sure. He wanted me to go through it. And, you know, I've been criticized before for doing that, for taking my Bible, and as a young person, I would try to make sure. It's a big step for them to be saved, and I want to make sure that they know what they're doing, and I want to make sure that they understand what they're doing. And I never wanted to, but I was criticized. I've been criticized for that. You're taking too much time. Maybe I am, but eternity is an even longer time, so I'll take my time here and get it right, or try to get it right anyways. So we went through the scriptures, and it was a Roman road. And I still have that old Bible at the house, and I have every line that he marked with his pencil in my Bible. It was my mom and daddy's Bible. I'd borrowed a Bible. I didn't even have a Bible. I'd borrowed their Bible. But it's marked in there. Every verse of scripture we went through that night. And at the end he said, do you want to pray? And I said, yes, sir, I do. And I prayed and I asked the Lord to save my soul that night. And he did. And the same goes for you. You know, I know there's folks watching us out there, but I know there's folks here. I never miss the opportunity to give them an invitation. But an invitation is not that we're going to sing a song. Invitation is not that you can come and kneel and pray. The invitation is not that you can even come to speak to me. And you can come and speak with me, by the way. If you feel that you need to speak with me, I'll be right here. But the invitation is this, simply bow your head right where you're at and have that heart-to-heart conversation with the Lord. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need to be saved. I know Jesus died for me, and I ask you to save me right now. From your heart to God's heart, if you'll pray that prayer, and you're guaranteed a trip to heaven. I don't know how I did on time. Sister Denise, I hope you got home in time. Did good? I'm good. But remember the message tonight, just a few questions. You know, there's so much in here. There's so much. And you may go back and look at this and say, well, I come up with some different answers than Brother Ronnie did. Well, that's fine too, because the Lord speaks to you in one way and he speaks to me in another way. But in the end, we're all going to agree on one thing, and that's Jesus died for our sins. Let's stand.